But like I mentioned earlier, today I will be starting a new series, and I'm calling it a field guide for following the way. Now, in our culture today, our society as a whole, we're really deeply encouraged by those around us and by media and everything that we are meant to find our own way in life. To make our own way in life. Now, that sounds like freedom. It sounds like freedom to say, you get to choose your own way. You get to find your own way of living this life, and you get to do it your way and not be subjected to somebody else's way. It sounds like freedom, doesn't it? What you find, though, over time, I think especially as you age, and as you take on more and more responsibility, you start to discover that finding your own way, making your own way, and choosing your own way is not fun. It's exhausting. Because every new problem that comes up, every big decision, every difficulty that you face, the things that matter most in this life, so things that you value and want to care for and want to protect, you know, say you have kids, or you start a business, or you pursue a passion, something you believe in deeply, the weight of that thing is significant, isn't it? You think about having kids and you go, it's my job to keep you alive. That's a lot of work. It's my job to provide everything you need. It's my job to give you a future. And as those responsibilities accumulate, we feel the weight of that, don't we? Now, let me take a quick break. Do we want to be a church that's full of kids? Kids are going to make noise, aren't they? Do we welcome that noise? Yes, we do. Okay? I'm pretty sure she's speaking in tongues. So if somebody could give an interpretation. But what we'll have to learn together, especially in a room like this, lots of echo and stuff, we have to do the work of paying attention and not be distracted, right? So we welcome you, Piper. You make as much noise as you want. Okay, so this philosophy, this way of living life that says you got to find it, you got to figure it out, you got to choose it for yourself, in a society that's based on that idea, if you aren't happy, if you aren't wealthy, and if you aren't healthy, and even to go one step further, in this internet age, I think we've gone even farther than what we saw of kind of Canadian culture in post-World War II 50s and 60s, is that we've moved now into where everyone thinks they need to be the best parent in the world. They have to be the best homemakers. Like, it's got to be magazine-worthy, right, stylistically and all that. Everyone has to have the body of a professional athlete. Okay, but we laugh at it, but for real, people look in the mirror and they go, I don't have a six-pack. I'm not doing something right. Okay, but we're not even done yet. As far as what we eat, it has to be curated as the healthiest, most organic, right, locally sourced, but restaurant quality cuisine, right? Instagrammable. So that's just four or five things. Now your career, now your clothing, now you got to travel, you got to have a house, and it's got to be the best house on the block. We could keep adding this up. And all of that, if you don't achieve it, is your fault. because you made a mistake in your choices of what way you've sought to accomplish those things. So it sounds like freedom, doesn't it? At the outset, the beginning, it sounds like freedom. But as life goes on, it's soul-crushing expectation. So just take a moment to see the fact that living life that way, according to the philosophy and mantra of the secular world, is soul-crushing. It's mind-crushing. It's body-exhausting. So the whole purpose of the next 8 weeks is to go, what's the way of Jesus? Because it's the complete opposite of that mantra. Because in this world, the last thing you want to say is, I'm not doing okay. Because we got it, because it's about being the best. So to say, I'm not okay, doesn't fit in this way of living. To say, I'm not perfect doesn't fit in this way of living. To say I'm not strong enough doesn't fit. You can't say that, right? What's the mantra that's being spoken all the time? You're enough. You're enough. And it sounds like empowerment, doesn't it? When somebody says, you're enough. You've got what it takes. And you have a momentary, oh, you're right. I do have what it takes. And so it sends you back into the fray until 50 minutes later, and you're like, I don't have what it takes. And then you come back and you go to a close friend or a mentor, and you say, I'm not doing okay. I'm not doing this right. And I'm not strong enough to keep doing this. Those are cries for help, aren't they? And if the response of our society is, no, 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 you're okay. You've got you just got to accept yourself. Love yourself. You've got what it takes. Just, you're enough. Get out there and keep going. You decide. You've got the power to do this. You've got the strength to do this. And they turn you back around and shuffle you back out to try harder. It sounds like empowerment. It sounds like freedom. It sounds like the way we should live. But is it working? I mean it. That's the crux question for our society today. Is it working? Are we okay? I don't think we are. Anxiety, depression, exhaustion. I don't think we are okay. Do we have this all figured out? Right? Even in a day of science, just follow the science. Do what it says. You pull up your news feed, there's 6 new articles saying something different scientifically than they said yesterday. Yesterday they said coffee's killing me. Today they say coffee cures my cancer. Which one is it? Right? So we're consuming all this new information, scientific studies, to go, this is the system I should follow, but everything is competing and contrary and very confusing. Is that fair? It's really confusing. I follow a lot of like physical health blogs and magazines and stuff like that. It's really hard to figure out what I should be doing in the gym because they all disagree with each other. It's really confusing. So it's not so simple as they say it is to find a system to live by. And then when our strength is waning, and we're really wearing out, you start to question whether or not you can keep doing this. And when you start feeling that way, then when the next calamity comes, the next variable, the next hardship, you're starting to lose it a bit. Internally, going, I can't handle more bad news. I can't handle more responsibility. I can't handle another problem to find a solution for. Is that just me? We relate? Okay. So, this is our secular world. This is what we're always being wooed into. So, what happens then when Jesus comes in to the picture? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Big claims. So all the things that we've been trying to figure out ourselves, Jesus comes in and says, I'm actually the one who does that successfully. Is that good news? So that's a big claim. How do we do that? Okay, we spent this whole last year going, who is Jesus and what has Jesus accomplished? And then Jesus offers us this invitation to say, follow me, I'm the way. And you can receive my way as a gift. I'll give it to you. Your job is just to follow me through the way and let the way do its work. So for somebody like me, the idea of the way being clear, the way being something I can see enough to follow, there's not so much haze and confusion all the time. The way being about Jesus carrying the responsibility instead of me, somebody who can actually mentor me. Somebody who can say, this is the way to do life. This is the way to solve problems. This is the way to find strength and be fruitful. Does that sound like good news? This is a way to be at peace in this world. Okay, you've got my attention, Jesus. Right? So, how? How do we follow the way? What does that look like for a life to be about following Jesus and to be about enjoying the benefits of Jesus? And enjoying the impact of the salvation that Jesus offers. So that's what I want to spend time on in the next few weeks. Today, I want to get really simple. Like super simple. And just talk about what are kind of like the four main things, the four main like principles and values and ways of living out this life in Jesus. Okay? As simple as I can make it. I wrote out all my notes and I was all prepared. And then driving here this morning just went, no, it's not simple enough. We got to get simpler. So, I want to talk about four things based on the four great achievements of Jesus. Now, what are the four great achievements of Jesus? Christ Church. Number one, his life. Secondly, death. Third, resurrection. And fourth, we should have that by now. Okay? These are the four great achievements of Jesus. His life, death, resurrection, and ascension. That is the way of Jesus. Yes? So, according to those four accomplishments, what are the four priorities of the Christian life? The four priorities of living the way of Jesus. The The first, I would say, is this. According to the life of Jesus, is being allowed to say, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. The reason that's so valuable is because it's not supposed to be okay to live without God. So when I say I'm not okay, what I'm saying is I need Jesus. That's the fundamental principle of my life, is that I need to receive from God to keep going. I'm not okay. There's parts inside of me that are hurting right now, that are tired right now. My heart isn't okay. And for a world that has to keep up appearances all the time, that is good news because it's relief. I actually think this should be part of the first thing that comes into our mind in the morning when we wake up is, I need Jesus. I'm not okay. So that's hard for the person that thinks they always have to be okay. Saying I'm not okay means living with an open, honest, authentic heart before God that says, I'm actually quite needy. And that I was made to be needy. Do you need to hear that again? You're made to be needy. Did you know that? You weren't made to be self-sufficient. Do you hear me? You were made to dwell in the garden of His delight and depend upon Him. Do you believe that? Do you see how much you need this? Do you? Do you see? I just saw you last Sunday. We just talked about this a week ago. But already you've been wooed back into self-sufficiency. Shouldn't I have this together? Do you hear me? Do you hear you? So, this is why it's so fundamental to go, I'm not okay without you. Because of the death of Jesus, we are allowed to say, I'm not perfect. Is that a relief? To be more specific, it means I can say, I've failed. I've messed this up. Okay, but in a world that emphasizes you create the way, you achieve the way, and you're judged according to your way, you can't make mistakes. Let me put it this way. You're raising kids or grandkids. You got your finances, you got your house, you got your car, you got your friendships. And you can only have those things if you don't screw it up. If you don't make mistakes. And if you make mistakes, all of that you might lose. Do you feel that? Do you ever feel that way about your life? I'm one mistake away from ruining everything. That's the world. The gospel says you're okay to have made mistakes. I have the cross for you. The gospel says let's be honest about our imperfections, our weaknesses, and our screw-ups. That's how simple the gospel is. I'm not okay, and I've made mistakes, big ones. Making them right now. But I'm not defined by how good I am. See the difference? The world says, choose your own path, but just so you know, it kind of defines you. So don't mess it up. There are winners and there are losers out there. The gospel says, choose me as the way, and it's about how good I am, not how good you are. So number one, I'm not okay. Number two, I'm not perfect. And I'm open and honest and looking for places to go. I messed that up. Didn't do that perfect. See, I've been doing that wrong. You okay with that? You coming with me? So it's very different than the world, isn't it? Very different than what we're taught to do. Because we're taught to be self-sufficient, and then we're taught to be perfect. So we're taught to choose our own way, and then we cling to that way, even if we know it's wrong, because we don't want our way to be wrong. Isn't that crazy? We keep doing things we know are wrong because we're scared of being wrong. Because we were told to choose our own way. So, I'm not okay. I need to depend upon you. I'm not perfect. You are, though. That's the good news of the gospel. And here's some more good news. Because of the resurrection, I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. And this is the thing. When I've chosen my own way and then realized I chose the wrong way and it didn't work and I've made a colossal mess, then the temptation for me is to go, I'm just going to have to work hard to get us out of this mess. I'm going to have to be enough to make this happen and make this work. I'm going to raise not only myself, but all of us out of the grave by my own strength. That's called digging yourself out of a hole. Okay? So I chose my own way. It dug me a grave that I'm now sitting in dead. But I know what I can do. I'll dig my way out of this. Which is exhausting. Fair? So, for somebody who, like me, who lives and feels that way, then when I feel not strong enough to keep going to get us out of this, then I'm really hopeless. Now what? You ever felt that? So this is the way everyone we know and love, including ourselves, feels about this life. I just got to work harder to get out of this, but I'm increasingly not okay, and this isn't working, and I'm running out of energy and options. In Jesus, we get to go, it's freeing to say, I'm not strong enough and good enough for this, but you are. You're strong enough. And you proved it by coming back from the dead. You proved it by being resurrected into a new human life. That's good news for somebody like me who doesn't have enough strength to keep doing. So Jesus offers a new way, doesn't he? So I'm free to say I'm not okay because Jesus lived. I'm okay to say I'm not perfect because Jesus died. I'm okay to say I'm not strong enough because Jesus is risen. And lastly, I don't have to fear another calamity. I don't have to be anxious about the future or fear more responsibility or try and control everything around me. And you know what it's like to have a friend like that, don't you? Right? They've bought into the fact they have to live life their own way. They're unwilling to see their mistakes. Right? Unwilling. Nope. I got this. You can see that they're tiring. And so what they try and do is control everything around them because they can't handle more variables. Do you see it? But because Jesus is ascended, because Jesus reigns over all things, I don't need to be in control. He's in control. I can trust him. I can rest in him. I can depend upon him. So here's the confession. Here's the relieving confession of our faith in the most simplest terms I can put it. Is I'm not okay, but Jesus has lived. He understands this. He's saving me. He's everything I need. I'm not perfect, but Jesus has died for me. I'm not strong enough, but Jesus has risen, so he makes me strong. I'm not in control, but Jesus reigns. This means an open-heartedness in life to be honest about where I'm really at. It means I live a life of repentance, willing to point out and go, Jesus, I've sinned here. To live a life of good works, of doing what's right and what's good because he's alive. And trusting in his control over all things, knowing that I'm safe and secure. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the way of Jesus. But in Matthew, the text we read today, Jesus goes on and says, do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How essential is this way of Jesus? It has to trump everything else. The text that came to mind for me today is Matthew 13. Jesus does the parable where he says, a man finds a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So that's the picture here, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And we have to make a decision where we go, I'm going to give up my way. I'm going to give up my way of seeing things and the way I've been taught and this way of taking care of myself, and I'm going to sell all of it. I'm going to lose it all in order to have this treasure, which is the way of Jesus. Now, you heard that summary. To be able to say I'm not okay, but to be okay because of him. To say I'm not perfect, but to be perfect because of him. To say I'm not strong, but to be strong because of him. And to not be in control, but to be safe because he's in control. Does that sound good? That sounds good, doesn't it? Does that sound better than the way we're living? Does it? It does. So here's the rub. We've got to leave the old way to have his way. So that's the picture. You've got to sell all of your other stuff to have the treasure, right? So let's say you make that decision and you go, I'm not going to live this old way anymore. I want the way of Jesus. So you go home and you say to your wife or you say to your dad or your in-laws, I'm allowed to be a mess. Okay? Imagine your spouse looking at you and being like, oh, are you? And you get to say, I'm allowed to not be perfect. And they go, well, at least you're finally seeing that you aren't. And you could say, I don't have to be strong enough. It's not about me anymore. And they're going, whoa, this sounds irresponsible. And I don't have to try and control all of this, have the master plan, worry about my future, or make all these blocks connect. Okay? What are the people in your life going to say to that? Right? So Matt, this is what the man in the parable does. He finds a treasure, and he goes, if I'm going to have this treasure, I got to change all of this. And so he goes home and says, we're selling everything. We're selling everything. We got to get rid of it. And she's going, but I love this. He's going, no, we got to get rid of it all because we're going to go, I found a new way, a new treasure. And we've all heard our friends going, I got a new diet. I got a new financial plan. I'm jazzercising now. And we're like, sure you are. Right? I bought all this new equipment for home. Great. I'm juicing. Whoa. Right? We've all heard the bit. Everyone's done it. But Jesus is going, no, for real, sell it all and follow me. This is the point. This is what he's getting at in Matthew 10. Is he's going, this is not going to bring immediate peace. This is going to rub against everything this world says you should do. Follow my way and trust it. Depend on me. Let yourself be raw and honest about where you're at. No skeletons in the closet. Be honest about where you're not good enough, where you're making mistakes, where you're cutting corners, where you're taking shortcuts, where you're cheating the system, where you're stealing. Be honest about that and repent. Stop trusting in your own strength and wisdom and follow me. It brings to mind another story, the rich young man. The rich young man comes to Jesus and says, how do I follow you? And Jesus says, sell everything. And it says the young man walked away sorrowful because he had much. And so here's the truth. The way of Jesus is incredibly enticing to the poor of spirit, those who realize they're not okay, they're not perfect, they're not strong enough, and they can't control all of this. For people who know that, Jesus is good news. For people who think they've got it together, who think they've figured this out, and they've got the empirical way, and systems of financial investment and strength and responsibility. They might have it all together on the outside. But do they have it all together in their relationships? Do they have it all together in their heart of hearts? Are they okay when they're alone? Are they okay when they lose an investment? Are they okay when they lose what they had? They're not. It's a facade. So the way of Jesus is good news to the poor, bad news to the rich of this world, isn't it? But the reality is nobody's rich. Nobody's really rich. We're all desperately on the edge of what feels like destruction, aren't we? I've worked with multimillionaires and the poorest of the poor, and it's all the exact same thing with just a different amount of zeros. The poor go, I don't know how I'm going to feed myself this week. And the rich go, if this investment doesn't go through, I lose everything. Everyone's on the edge of destruction. One just has leather seats and the other one rides a bike. It doesn't matter. So the way of Jesus, though, is enticing, isn't it? If we're willing to let go of our ways, the ways of this world, in order to receive His way. So I will bring you back to the beginning here with this. His way is so good, so effective, so transformative, and so enriching that the early church, do you know what its first name was? The Way. The Way that works. That's our nature in Christianity, that we would be the way, that we would live the way, that we would devote ourselves to the way, that we would be defined by the way and marked by the way. This is the way of life. The only true way of life. And that has to be worth more than everything else. How far, though? To the point where you love Him, the way, more than you love your spouse. More than you love your kids. More than you love your passions and your hobbies, your investments, and your all of it. He has to be more valuable than all of everything else. But He's so good that it's the best thing you could ever do for everything else. Hear me? As a husband and a friend and a parent, I know this to be true. If I love them more than I love Jesus, I need them more than I need Jesus. I crush them under my knees. But He's big enough, good enough, and proven enough to entrust all of this to Him. So when I go on the way, when I follow the way, my home, my family, my life goes on the way too. Do you see it? So, it's meant to be a bit of a summary of the gospel to go as we move forward into looking at the practices and life and function of the way. I want you to hear the essence, though, is living a life where you're honest at a heart level and going, I need God. I'm not perfect. I'm not strong enough. And I'm not in control. That's the way of peace. But it makes Jesus great. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything we need. Jesus is the solution to all of our mistakes and the cure to what ails us. Jesus is the source of life that we want to live from. And Jesus rules and reigns over all things and cares for us and protects us and is enough for us. Is that good news? And that's a good confession, isn't it? It's a good relief. So that's what I created it for. For me, it was my life to go, when I'm feeling off, I need a quick confession that I can say, I'm not okay with all this right now. Jesus lived. I'm failing at this. Jesus died. I'm not strong enough, but Jesus is risen. I'm not in control, and Jesus reigns. That's my prayer to get me started. And I think that should be the relief that the world would find when they come to Christ Church. Amen? So let's renew our commitment today to follow the way of Jesus. And let's prepare our hearts for the table, that we would come here and receive our treasure. Receive Jesus and leave everything else.